Hi, today I'm talking to Susan Yi. Susan is the CEO of Active Data. She'll give us a little bit more information about the company, but it is a self-funded software company with a web-based calendaring solution that helps companies build and manage event communities. And one of the things that Sue has gone through is the decision on the type of platform, and very few people that have the background that Sue has across multiple platforms and hosting environments. So we really appreciate Sue taking the time to share her experiences with us today. Hi, Sue. How you doing?
Hi, Harold. It's all my pleasure. I'm so glad to see you again.
Yes, it doesn't seem like it's been that long ago, does it?
It's been too long. You have to come back and visit soon.
I have to do that. But
yes,
we're going to start off by just having you give us a little bit of background information on the company.
Okay, sure. My pleasure. Thanks. Well, Active Data has been around for over 15 years. We're based in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, north of Philadelphia. We have over 700 clients all around the world in verticals of higher education, K-12, government, healthcare, and enterprise markets. And our customers include the likes of Villanova University, University of Colorado, the Mayo Clinic, UCSD Medical Center, the New York School District, the New England Patriots and Gillette Stadium, the state of Indiana, the city of Stanford, and clients in all those markets all over the country and the world. Our SaaS service, Active Calendar, provides the ability to publish key dates and events that make it easy for people to search, find, register for, and share events to drive awareness, attendance, and revenue for our clients. And our event community social platform drives results for our customers by engaging visitors. I mean, it's all about the visitor, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is today, even in corporate America. It's not B2B or B2C. It's human to human. So we're here to drive engagement with visitors. I mean, that's why people have events, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's a great term. And we really do see that in both the sales and the marketing process today. It's all about engagement. And a lot of that is driven by the customer, not the company.
That's right. Well, disposable time is our currency. I mean, that's really what we go after with events. Now, you have disposable time in your ecosystem with your client base and your partners and your friends and family. Well, our goal is to know and take advantage of the disposable time in our clients' ecosystem, because if our clients can take advantage of their clients' disposable time, we believe it drives brand equity and customer loyalty through date-related information. You know, one of the things I like to talk about and compare events to is bananas. Why, you
fair
ask?
Enough. Fair enough. Go ahead.
Well, you know, events are like perishable food, because just like a banana has a short lifespan shelf space, you know, short shelf life on a grocery store shelf, we think events have a short lifespan too, because from the date that you start planning to the date of the actual event, you know, it's a short window. So we help companies take advantage of that window by optimizing that short window of opportunity to really get the word out and get people to know about events and schedules and dates that are put out there. You know, everything revolves around a date and time, and in business and in commerce and in consumer life, you know, time, just you can't get it back. And so that's why we think our platform and our social platform is really a successful tool for our customers.
Yeah, that's a really nice way of putting it. I'm very familiar with that, because I run a lot of events for Microsoft and Microsoft partners. And there is that scheduling, there's a deadline, and if you miss that opportunity, then you've just missed out on a fairly significant opportunity for both you and the attendees. So I can see a lot of value in what you're doing. So,
I kind of look at us like we solve chronic calendar pain.
Okay.
You don't really know you have it because it's so chronic. So as soon as we hit that sore spot, boom, you say, hey, no brainer. This is a great solution for you.
And people feel so much better when they realize they don't have
they
that pain
do.
Anymore. It's the absence of pain.
So
let's talk about the value that you bring to companies. And you've given me a little bit of a list of the companies, some very impressive customers. But can you talk about the transaction structure? What companies are actually paying for in terms of the software? Are there services involved, the setup? What does a typical transaction look like from a customer's perspective?
Well, the software, the SaaS offering that we're putting on Azure is Active Calendar, and the SaaS model and the licensing structure is a combination of transaction fee revenue and software licensing. But you can start out with a free limited subscription and just pay transaction fees for any paid transactions that you offer, like ticketing or registration. You can sell goods, T-shirts, donations, or raffle tickets through our system. And so we would just get a transaction fee.
That almost sounds like it pay-as-you-go.
It does, right? You don't really reinvent anything. You just reuse it and put a different spin on it, right? And then we also offer, though, upgrades to the software licensing. So we offer the transaction fee, pay as you go for whatever transactions you run. But if you want additional functionality, then you can upgrade to paid software subscription packages. And so, it's great for our clients because there's a low entry point. But then if you want to escalate it to an enterprise-wide platform, you can. We have clients that have, over 150 different calendar sites collected under a master calendar platform. And so we're able to scale from, the one-person user that just wants to put one big event a year out with transactions or even free events to, the large enterprise account that can scale and have extensive workflow and SSO integration and API integration. So it's pretty powerful in terms of
Yeah,
its.
and it seems like an application that's absolutely ideal for the cloud and for SaaS and for collaboration. And you've really,
It
you said you kind of wandered through the desert when it comes to platforms and architecture that you've been through. So would you mind sharing a little bit of the history of the evolution of the product and the platform and how you've ended up moving towards Azure?
Sure, because we all are firm believers of if you don't learn from history, you don't learn, right? So yes, we've been a web-based software company from day one of our founding. It was back in the day, and I don't know if this ages both of us, Harold, or not. But we were called application service providers when you had a combination of software in a hosted environment. I mean, I think we were cloud before cloud. I don't know. I guess I don't know what was with that. But we started building web community publishing tools when companies were just starting to build their own websites and they didn't even have email. So I don't know, that does date us, doesn't it? We started it as a suite, our software platform as a suite of community publishing tools, and then broke out the calendar application in a perpetuity license model, with the option of clients either being able to host the application themselves or pay us as a managed application service provider. Back then, it was all physical machines. Virtualization did not exist yet, at least to the public or for the corporate market. And so we built all our web apps on physical servers in an IIS web server, database server configuration. We had to build our own data centers because I'm not even sure data centers were really totally popular or accessible back then. And we had to invest in our own air conditioning, the normal stuff, backup power, redundant internet connectivity, and all that expensive infrastructure you need to keep our clients running at a 99.9% uptime. We were actually a Microsoft hosting partner before they had hosting partners and before they even had the notion of SPLA, which is what the hosting partners use for licensing, the service provider licensing agreement. So we were probably in the forefront of software licensing in the cloud environment because we offered, regular enterprise licenses to clients in a cloud, a web-based hosting service. Well, to continue on though, when virtualization was introduced, we collapsed our physical racks and got 50 servers onto the space, in one of our racks, 50 servers on a three virtual machine, virtual host environment with a SAN storage device. And so we were able to reduce our costs in real estate, power, and utility. However, we still anticipated and we did have obstacles with scalability and business continuity. I kind of got really tired of continuing to invest in hardware and infrastructure refresh expenses, especially in the high demand for uptime and business continuity and people depending on our solutions as mission-critical apps. So we decided to then move our infrastructure to a large data center into co-location environment. Because our software drives millions of events and millions of page views a week or a month, with over 12,000 users licensed to use our software across product lines, we really had to make sure that we had a dependable, reliable hosting environment. So we moved everything over to a co-location environment and did not have a pay-as-you-go model available to us.
So you've been your own data center, I think you still are. You've done colo, you've done VM, you've done everything with physical infrastructure that can be done. What triggered the thought of moving towards Azure and what made that appealing?
Well, you know, as we evolved our business model, we identified some of the obstacles to growth in that one specifically was that for every product update that we had to update and touch every client that hosted with us. So there's no way we could scale quickly in that model. So last year, we introduced Active Calendar, which is our latest SaaS service in a tenant SaaS community model that streamlines the whole product release process. Our initial release was only available to a handful of participating clients. And so, in light of that, we knew that we didn't want to buy infrastructure that was going to be underutilized. And so we wanted to just get a limited, figure out and find some service that would allow us to go, start out small, but be able to scale without having to do expensive, long-term commitments to leasing for sizing servers. And give us the ability to harden the application, track the application's performance, and be able to forecast future metrics and network requirements so that we can size appropriately then based on this SaaS model we are launching. When we started comparing the cost of co-location services with shared versus dedicated physical rack space, with shared versus managed virtual machines, and the plethora of so many options out there, it was mind-boggling, all the different configurations we were coming up with, and it was so difficult to get, pricing models that would be able to be scaled. And so that's when we decided to move our Active Calendar solution to Azure, and that's how we picked Azure.
Okay, but you did look at a lot of different options. There are other platforms that provide a hosting platform or infrastructure for multi-tenant architecture. Did you look at other options, or did you gravitate towards Azure for other reasons?
Well, primarily it's because Azure, we did look at others. If we were looking at a co-location environment, we had to then size servers with minimum requirements, right? And when if you, we wanted to buy a VM or a physical server in a physical rack or a shared virtual environment, we still had a threshold of costs, no matter what our utilization was going to be, because it's a fixed cost and we had to have certain minimum requirements. So we had this threshold of cost that was way more expensive than the Azure pay-as-you-go environment. So the cost was a big factor. The low-cost entry to production and the ability to scale was really important too, because once you lock into a physical environment or you lock into a year or a 2 or 3 year commitment with a co-location facility, it's a little bit more difficult to either true down, move it down or move it up based on your utilization. And so what we found with the Azure environment, we have this notion of consumption that we're able to then use either, we can either ramp it up or, scale it up 1 month and scale it down another, but then still have a consumption bucket to utilize. It also going to Azure also allowed our development and our network teams to learn the environment, the pay-as-you-go environment, allowed our network and developers to learn the Azure environment without a lot of risk. So that was really one of the reasons why we went to Azure. Moving into a virtual environment in the Azure place in the IaaS infrastructure wasn't difficult for our team because we're already used to doing that. Doing a pay-as-you-go, spin up the servers and just kind of play around with it and go really low cost because we don't have a huge client base on that platform yet seemed to make the most sense.
Well, what about vendor support? One of the things that I found is that there's a really big difference between, there's a lot of companies out there that are providing infrastructure of different types. And what I found is one of the big distinguishing factors is actually vendor support for the partners that are using their infrastructure. What's your experience been at that end?
One of the challenges with the Azure retail account is that all we had to go on was what was on the internet. And while many believe that everything on the internet is true, sometimes marketing departments can't keep up with the speed of all the new functionality that's out there. And so one of the, I think, challenges we had was that we only based our decisions on what we found on the portals and the internet. Resources that we had that our developers could access on a pay-as-you-go account. Having that human support plan that we're able to get under an enterprise account is very, very valuable to us. Having a human contact at Microsoft is very valuable to us. And so support really is a key factor in terms of our hosting platform.
Did you see that changed when you decided to look at the enterprise agreement as an option? Did you find you got yourself a little bit more attention from Microsoft?
Oh, you know, it absolutely opened up a whole bunch of doors that, you know, I don't even know how many doors there are yet to open. There's a lot of them at Microsoft. But yes, we have what's really wonderful. And you know, it's not what you know, it's who you know in the Microsoft ecosystem, right? So what it did was open up introductions to us for folks that are familiar with ISVs. One of the challenges as an ISV to us is that, you know, I've gone to the partner worldwide partner conferences, I've gone to chapter meetings of IMCP and, you know, all the different partner events that are out there. And it always seemed like we were this, you know, one-off kind of partner that no one knew what to do with, since we, you know, really weren't focusing on the core Microsoft stack or reselling or integrating software. And because we weren't directly, we didn't have an account that we resold licenses for, it was very difficult for us to have any kind of relationship. So now with an enterprise account, we have folks that specialize in ISVs and understand our business and our needs. And it's just really, really great to have that support to grow our business that in the end also helps Microsoft and all its partners. So
And I think you're seeing there are two major trends that are converging at the same time. One is that Microsoft has recognized after many, many years the importance of ISVs. And as you know, you've been in the partner ecosystem for a while. It's been up and down. And there's been a major recommitment of resources to ISVs in general, and especially ISVs that are moving to the cloud. At the same time, ISVs with a relatively, I've said in the scheme of things, a relatively modest enterprise agreement get a lot more visibility today than they would selling the traditional legacy platforms from Microsoft.
So, I'm really happy to hear that because, you know, I think we are an integral part of deeper integration into an account utilizing Microsoft services because, you know, we are a true Microsoft-bred software ISV. I mean, our platform grew from, you know, ASP.ASP to ASP.NET, and we've gone through every iteration of the .NET platform. We use TFS. I mean, we use CRM. We use, CRM Dynamics. We use SharePoint. We use Exchange. You know, we are very true, good, loyal Microsoft partners, and yet, you know, there's not been that attention for us to help grow that ecosystem in Microsoft and help establish that Microsoft brand within an account. So, you know, I'm really happy to hear that there's a shift towards and the attention that we are able to get now. Happy to hear it. Yeah, keep it going. Yeah. Keep it going, Harold.
So it's great you've been able to share some of your experience then on the different types of infrastructure platforms. And as you look at the difference between a retail account and an enterprise agreement, what are the key factors that you think ISVs should consider when they're making that decision?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is off the top of my head, I think I have a half a dozen or so considerations. One is the fact that under the enterprise account, we're able to have a high availability infrastructure. That's really key as we have, you know, over almost two dozen of the largest top 100 colleges and universities in the country. We have some large enterprise accounts as our clients. You know, they're expecting high availability and minimal downtime. And that's something that we are eligible for in an enterprise account. As in the retail pay-as-you-go model, that's not available to us. And so that was one of the key technical decisions for us to go that way. Support plans are better under an enterprise account, so we're able to subscribe to better support plans and opt up if we want more support. Third, our developers, this is just the Azure environment in general, our developers really love the ease of use of the portal and the metrics and diagnostics that they get out of the portal for troubleshooting. The ease of use and the user interfaces of all the server diagnostics that help our developer identify where latency is and performance issues are is really, really, really fantastic. They've given me great feedback on that aspect of the Azure portal. We also, you know, again, another consideration is that we do have direct Microsoft resources now and a contact that may not have all the answers, but the folks that we've been working with have been extremely helpful in terms of getting us to the right people and making things happen. So they're motivated, and that makes us feel good that we have that attention. Because, you know, I don't want to waste anyone's time. And clearly, if you're on your own trying to navigate through the Microsoft contact list, you know, that's kind of there's a lot of brick walls sometimes that you hit. The fifth one that I like to think about is the enterprise discount rates. So the retail pay-as-you-go costs are higher. You get discounts at the enterprise account level, and that we're able to make, you know, annual commitments in terms of consumption. You know, it is a little bit of a challenge to forecast what our consumption is going to be, and that is one of the challenges, I think, in terms of identifying what your annual commitment is. But, you know, the same thing applies when you're deciding on leasing a server for 3 years, or you're committing to a 1 to 3 year contract for a VM in a co-location facility. So either way, you still have to forecast your budget. But in the Azure environment, you have some flexibility, which I think is a good thing. And then the last thing I think is really great is, especially for ISVs and for us, we're able to tap into go-to-market resources and visibility within Microsoft. There's a huge ecosystem there, and so the fact that now we're an ISV on Azure, hopefully it gives us some more visibility with some of the accounts, and hopefully will help us align with some of the other Microsoft initiatives with the accounts that we have.
Well, thanks, sir. It's been great catching up. It has been too long, and hopefully we can catch up in Orlando. Do you intend to be at WPC this year?
I do. Okay. I'm looking forward to I hope there's like special ISV panels there. I'd love to go to those.
Yeah, there are going to be a couple of tracks for ISVs, in fact. So there should be plenty of sessions that would be of interest to you. I'm going to be speaking on a couple of the breakout sessions, talking about services companies, actually, as they build out IP and building a business model around IP. Because we see that there's a real convergence now of the ISV and the what we call the SI model, where everyone is into now building some repeatable IP and then finding the best way to take those to market. So let's make sure that we catch up in Orlando then.
Yeah, you know what? I do have a couple of notes of advice for ISVs if they're going to consider something. I have four notes of advice that I wanted to share with you and your audience, if I may.
Sure, absolutely. Please, yes.
Okay,
absolutely.
Great. One is that I think it's really critical to find an expert that understands software architecture and the plethora of Azure services that are available. Why is that? Well, it's because when we started configuring our telecom requirements, you know, there are a lot of telecom network consultants out there that can help you, you know, measure latency, measure performance, identify what bandwidth you need, what server sizing you need, and so on. But what's really critical is having someone that understands software architecture too, that can help guide and provide the services that are relevant to your application that Azure has to offer. So if you happen to recode anything or separate worker processes from blob data to load balancing configurations, it's really important to have somebody be able to talk the talk in terms of Azure relative to the software architecture. The second one that I think is really important is that you should anticipate redos in your timeline so that your timeline isn't so aggressive that, you know, a hiccup in your timeline will require a recoding, because no one likes to redo, no one likes to recode. So, you know, just leave a little bit of time in your timeline to account for that. Get your SQL licensing right. One of the challenges that we have, and we're still working through it, is what is the Azure SQL licensing and what are the functionalities, the SQL services in a SaaS environment, the SaaS offering they have versus the SPLA environment that we're used to licensing SQL to and versus the enterprise SQL licensing. That's really important. And then lastly, you know, check and double check Azure services because it's moving so quickly. And this is where, you know, we've been a little bit challenged in the sense that what Azure offered last month and what all the Azure experts and the, you know, our consultants that told us, you know, about said it can or can't do, we were surprised that then the next month it was offered under Azure. So check and double check what Azure has to offer, because what was not available last month could be available this month and could really save you a lot of time. So, I'm really happy that Azure's moving really fast in terms of its capabilities. So if anything, that's the most important consideration, I think, when ISVs are moving to Azure. Just check, check, and triple check, and double triple check. Other than that, though, I'm really excited. I'm really excited to be on it. It's going to be great.
Well, really nice way to wrap this up with very concrete advice. And that's one of the benefits of this particular series of interviews, is that we get a chance to talk to people that have actually done it. It's more than just a theory and Microsoft having a website saying, these are the things that you should think about. This gives us an opportunity to talk to really seasoned is the wrong word, experienced, knowledgeable CEOs that have actually been through it. So again, Sue, thank you very much for spending the afternoon with us and going through this interview process. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Harold. Always great to talk to you. My pleasure.